Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seats with 50 as in popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey! Hello, everyone. Thank you for coming out. Not live from the UCB Theater in Los Angeles, but in front of a live audience. That's the people I thanked for coming out. Those of you listening on your computers, I'm thanking you for staying in and listening to this. This is Doug Benson's I Love Movies. You probably already knew that already. We're at the UCB Theater, where they do a lot of great shows, so go to ucbtheater.com for more info. And on a previous show, it was pointed out to me that I said that Chris Columbus directed Gremlins, when in fact it was Joe Dante who directed Gremlins from a screenplay by Chris Columbus. So I might have been high at the time. I don't remember. So today, now that that's cleared up, now that that one person can be like, thank you for correcting your mistake, retard. Retard, it's French. Today, we are doing a very special episode, and by that I don't mean that one of us is going to get cancer or die or something, but there's nobody's going to be molested in this episode. But it's a special episode because me and my guest are going to count down our favorite movies from 2006, that year that just happened a few weeks ago. So without any further adont, please welcome back, I call him W-Fed, Mr. Wayne Fetterman, everybody. Let's hear it for him. He's here. He's got notes and props.
We don't have a lot of time.
All right. Oh, okay. We got a lot to get through. Wow, I like your attitude.
Sorry about that.
I already forgot to bring. I brought like a clock that I could look at to keep track of the time, and I totally forgot it. So we're
back to the cell phone. Can I say something while you have the cell phone out there?
Back to the cell phone.
I was on one very special episode as an actor of A Different World.
Really?
Yeah. Want to know what happened?
I thought every episode of A Different World was special.
Well, in its own way it was, but this episode...
Because Kadeem Hardison always had the flip-up shades in every episode. They were very special.
Hunts Hall style.
Yeah.
That's just for one of you. This was the one where the N-word was painted on their car.
Oh, right.
Yes, and they had a
by Cosmo Kramer.
He's always thinking. All right, I got to take it up a notch.
All right, let me state quickly for the record that neither of us, Wayne or I, has the time or the inclination to see every movie.
I saw three movies.
So, wow, it's going to be an interesting top 10 out of Wayne.
I'm going to pretend I saw 10.
So our list cannot be completely fair to the movie-making industry.
True.
I'd like to just right up front, just quickly admit, here's some of the critical favorites that I did not get around to seeing in 2006 or in the first few weeks of 2007.
Can I guess Blade Runner?
I did not see that in this particular year.
Kidding. Go ahead. Go.
Volvere, I did not see.
Didn't see it.
Heard good things about it.
Mm-hmm.
Aquila and the Bee.
Yeah.
I've been to Starbucks, but I have not seen their movie. Apocalypto. I also do not like Jews, but I did not see that.
That's unfair. Unfair.
Babel, unfair. Or as Schwarzenegger calls it, Babel. I didn't see that.
Okay, you didn't see Babel.
Didn't
which
see Babel.
I think is going to win the best picture of the
you
year.
You think?
I think it has a good shot. Go ahead.
All right.
That's surprising and kind of diminishes your ability to make this list. Go ahead.
No, I know. That's why I'm admitting it up top. I'm admitting it up top.
I cannot. Like it.
That movie just looks too depressing for me to get around to seeing it, but I hear it's wonderful if you like to be depressed.
Have you ever seen a 16-year-old Asian woman open her
yes.
leg? That scene is incredible. She out Sharon
what does she
Stones.
Do?
She out Sharon Stones. Sharon
oh,
Stone.
No.
Insane.
Oh, then I'm in.
Yeah.
Why
that's what the whole movie's
that?
About. That's
why don't
the
they
whole...
say that? It looks like it's a depressing movie about some lady getting
they
shot on accident.
They pull it off to there's many stories, but it all comes
okay.
together.
Yeah, yeah.
It it's not on my
together.
List, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah, but go ahead.
Okay, well, so you're telling me it's not fair, and then it's not even on your list. World Trade Center, Strangers of Candy, Hard Candy, Half Nelson, Hollywood Land, Monster House, Sleeping Dogs Live, Venus, The Good German Shepherd, Idiocracy, The Last King of Scotland, Painted Veil, Tenacious D and The Pick of Destiny, Little Man, Deck the Halls, and Aragon. I didn't see any of those critical favorites.
Right.
And now... But now I still have a list of my 10 favorites.
Right.
The list is life.
Can I say right Wayne. Now, right from the start, we've been talking before we ever even had this show that gets electronically transferred to many people.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say broadcast. About a list all the time. My theory on movies has always been there's not 10 great movies in a year. Doesn't exist. It's a false premise to begin with.
Yes,
so,
there's not 10 great movies in
here. Can't be.
There's 10 movies that are okay.
That are watchable.
Sure.
There are 10 movies
you could
that
totally
are
look in the direction of them.
And not go, oh, and do that thing. But there's not 10 great movies. And I don't mean that. It's like I feel like that's always been the case. That was true in 1949, 53.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Best Picture, when they nominate 5 movies, it's always like, really? The 3
right.
of those are good or whatever. You know, it's
yeah.
like, it's hard.
And sometimes
hard.
The Academy does overlook great movies. But I'm just saying, as a rule, just start thinking about movies in a little less. Like, if you can get 2 great movies in a year, it's a good year for movies. Just think of it that way as
all
opposed
right.
to...
My number one this year did not get nominated for Best Picture.
Unaccompanied Minors? Because I'm in that.
Good
I'm in
guess.
That.
Good
I'm
guess.
In that. I'm
good
in that.
Guess. There are. It does have actors in it.
That's as close.
There are speaking roles in the movie.
Let's go. So what I've done is I make my top 5, which I can barely do. I had 4, and then I put one in with an asterisk, and then the rest are just movies that are overrated or I want to talk about or something like that. So
all
I only
right.
have 5.
So we agreed backstage that I would do my top 10, and then Wayne would let me know whenever I hit one of his
Bingos.
Top 5.
Or I have something horrible to say about one of your top 10s.
Okay, well,
why it wouldn't make
I
my
have
top
some
five.
Horrible things to say about my top 10. I don't completely love
let's touch the cell
most
phone
of these
and begin.
Movie. Touch it and go. My number 10, Stranger Than Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the Queen Latifah character. Right? She ruins it. I mean, another actress maybe would have been good, but her standing around talking to what's her name was my least favorite part of that movie. Everything else about it I liked. Did you see that movie, Wayne?
Yeah.
And it's not in your top 5?
Not in my top 5.
I don't blame you. It's numbered. It's
but
number 10
like,
on my list.
I like
it's way out of the top.
Let me just
five.
Give you a hint. There is a queen in one of my top 5s.
Okay. And probably
it's not Latifah.
And not yes, not even not black probably.
Not black.
No. She's the only black queen I know of. Number 9. Now this is going to controversy is going to ensue. The Departed.
Mm-hmm. That's in my
number
top
9.
Four. That's in my top 4.
It's number 4 then. Is what you're telling me.
Oh, no, I don't rate them. I just do them.
Oh, okay. You said you had 5, though, so you've rated 1/5, and the other 4 are tied for number 1.
Exactly.
So Departed is a 4-way tie for number 1
yes,
for you.
Yes, Departed is a 4-way tie for number 1.
Okay, well, let's break it down for
let's
a second.
Do it.
Loved Wahlberg and Baldwin.
He, right.
Loved them.
Wahlberg got nominated.
They're both
morning.
Amazing, yes, and deservedly so. But that final shot at the end of the movie is perhaps one of the worst final shots.
I agree with you.
Kicked it all the way down to 9 for me. Is that fucking last shot.
All right, but that's not the end of the movie. That's not the end of the movie. It kind of reminds me of Remains of the Day.
What do you mean that's not the end of the movie? You mean there's credits after?
No, I mean that's not the final scene, because I'm going to talk about a movie that has a bad ending called Little Miss Sunshine. I don't know if it's on your list.
It has a bad ending?
It has a bad ending. But it's not like it has a bad ending, but that's the end of the movie, which makes the movie bad. This was just one grace note that is horribly ill-conceived. That's all that is.
All right, that's fair.
I feel like there's a difference. That's
not the
end.
You guys even know what we're talking about?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, isn't that shot horrible?
Yeah, it's on the nose.
It's on the nose, but also off of the nose, because like I get that there's a rat. Yeah, okay, there's a rat.
The whole movie's about it.
But why that particular backdrop? You know, like behind the rat, like that's supposed to represent
that's our society, man.
Society?
Don't you see it? It doesn't matter what side of the law you're on; it's the same. People are turning people in all the time.
Yeah. I just didn't like the way it all. If I own it on DVD, which I do because they were kind enough to send me one, I'm going to stop it before that shot. Maybe even a few minutes before that. Because it just gets out of control at the end. It's just like, well, why do we bother sitting through this movie if they're just going to kill everyone?
The bloodshed.
All right. So Departed fell all the way to my number 9, but right. I do admire it.
Appreciate it.
I think it's an enjoyable motion picture.
I was just into it.
And if Scorsese gets the Oscar,
and
I say
obviously
good for him.
Not his nowhere near his best movie.
No way.
I don't know if you.
All right.
New York.
Speaking of
or New York or whatever that was called.
Yeah, there was two New Yorks.
Go ahead.
My number 8, Casino Royale. With cheese.
Let me tell you something.
That's number 5. That's your number 5. I could see where you'd place that one out on the side. Like, yeah, right, it was good, but come on. It's a fucking James Bond movie. Top 5 material.
Right. It is.
But it's really good.
That's the fine. Let me tell you the worst part of Casino Royale. The casino.
Yes, the poker scene.
The casino part.
Right there in words, Wayne, except for the poker scene. I hated the poker scene more than I hated Queen Latifah. If Queen Latifah had been the dealer in the poker scene, I would have liked it better. I hated it so much. But also, I play a lot of poker, so that didn't help.
I also play poker, but I do remember in the early Bonds, the Doctor knows, they would play that other game.
Baccarat.
Yeah, the flipper.
Where the guy would slide the thing out, and everyone would touch their cards with no numbers.
Colors.
Didn't make any sense at all, and you could never figure out what was happening.
Right, so at least they appreciate they're playing Hold'em. Okay,
yeah, but it's just bizarre that they're like, the game is Texas Hold'em. Here we go. Ooh, he's got a straight flush. He must be a good player or insanely lucky. He's fucking insanely lucky. It's not like he's so great. He drew the... It's just like at the end of Maverick, Mel Gibson has 4 aces. Well, that's just fucking lucky. That's not... Oh, what a great player, the way he came up with those 4 aces.
You know what he did?
The way he willed them out of the deck.
Right. You know what he did? He didn't play the deck. He played the man.
That's right.
He totally didn't play the man.
The man got fucked.
Yeah.
It was a massive bad beat in that movie.
Yeah. The casino in Casino Royale is bad.
Yes. Royale
is fantastic.
And I applaud this.
He was hot.
Who was?
That guy. What's his name?
James Bond?
Yeah, what's his name?
Craig? Stephen? Daniel Craig.
I thought he was really good.
It's 2 first names.
Yeah,
he's good.
I thought it was really...
He looked good in those shorts coming up out of the water.
Yeah, it was like a twist on the Ursula Andress thing. It was
a totally twist on it. It would have been great if he had her whole outfit on. If he had the top on as well. All right, so moving on. I was going to say the Academy Award nominations came out today. This show's going to...
Ruined it.
People are going to listen to this a week from now, but right. I have to applaud them on being smart enough to... give Leonardo the nomination for my number 7 movie, Blood Diamond. Because I liked him in that, even though there wasn't a single moment where I wasn't going, well, he's doing a silly accent. Like, I could never get over the accent, but I thought he was good. I thought he was, and Jaimin Hunsu, really he's the emotional heart of that movie, and really made that movie work. I thought
I agree with you. He's the emotional heart. Blood Diamond, I have a little problem with the script in that movie.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. I just felt like it was just too preachy and too many crazy coincidences have to happen in order for him to even know about that diamond. Like, the guy has to find the diamond, go over there, a person has to see him, then something has to happen so that guy doesn't kill him immediately, then that guy has to be hurt enough to give the information to everyone in the jail, but not too hurt that he's out, and what do you call it, has to be Brad Pitt? No, Leonardo, whatever his name is. Leonardo has to be in the jail at the same time to overhear that guy say that. It was just like...
Did you miss at the beginning when it said, based on no facts whatsoever? You're supposed to let yourself go and just enjoy the brutal murders and beatings that occur throughout
that
motion picture.
And then this is the thing. And then that crazy scene with... When they're at, there's a million person refugee camp, or many million person refugee.
Right.
It walks up to the fence.
There's
like,
my boy right over there.
There's my wife and the kid.
There they are.
Boy. And then he starts crying.
Well, they were hanging out right by the fence looking for him. They were like, hey, we're over here.
Right. Yeah. And then there's a list.
Because they knew he'd show up someday.
A list of all of those people. I just
well, I'll tell you.
Thought the whole thing was implausible. And they could have had a beautiful moment when he's in London and he's standing and looking at like some huge diamond
right.
in the window. And you're like, oh, that's what the message of the movie is.
And then you see that rat sitting there.
Totally ruined it.
I just liked that it was a drama, because it was a fairly serious movie. There was a couple
the love story
couple cute moments, but no, the love story was... But just the fact that there was so much action in a drama, because usually when there's action, it's like for fun.
Yeah.
And this was like serious, scary action all the way through.
And those guys did one of my favorite movies, Glory. You didn't need a crazy love story to pump up Glory.
Yeah, I didn't.
Enough.
You know, I didn't need it, but I did like it. And Jaimin Hansu, okay. fucking
you
rock,
got nominated
that shit.
Yeah. Go, baby.
But now back to something more fun. My number six movie, Hostel. One person agrees with me.
I didn't see him.
Tits, torture, a few titters.
Tits and titters.
What more could you want from a movie? Did you see it?
I unfortunately did not see it. And
one of the most hilarious, like, have you ever, has someone you hated and wanted to see dead ever just strolled in front of your car? The cathartic moment in that movie where the bitches that ensnared them in the hostile situation in the first place, that got them tortured, just are in the middle of the street and run over a bull. And then the guy fucking, you know, punches the gas. It's fantastic. So I'm looking
forward.
It's weird
because that's the kind of movie I do like. It was just one of those years where that slipped through, because I just saw The Hitcher the other night.
Which is that?
This year.
Yeah, how was
The Hitcher? We'll talk about it next year. It'll be on my top. That's for next year's show.
I don't know.
That's 08. January 08.
Sean Bean is no Rutger Hauer.
But the car was the Cutlass 442. God, that's for when I do Leno. He'll be into that. He'll know what I'm talking about.
Yes, Leno will be so excited that
he'll know that.
You know about a car.
The 442. Come on, go.
All right, so now we're into my top five.
Oh, it's getting... How are we doing on time?
Well, yeah, let's check the time. Good
let's
idea.
Check the time.
We're almost done.
Oh.
No, we got time.
Okay.
All right, number five, and I'm guessing it's in your top four based on your earlier comment. Yeah. The Queen.
Yes, it is. Obviously.
Now,
lovely,
Wayne,
lovely
I don't know
filmmaking.
About you. I never gave two flying shits about the royal family.
Until?
In my entire life. Even when Lady Di died, I was just like, oh, that's a shame. Who cares? Like, and when they had the long coverage of the funeral, I was like, I don't give a goddamn
about
this.
What about when she married? Do you remember when she married Charles, that thing?
Yeah, I remember it, but I was like, oh, okay, they're getting married. Good for them.
Okay.
And then the whole affairs and all that nonsense and just the whole... I was not interested at all in any of it. And then this movie, between the writing and the acting, and somewhat the directing, but it's a little, you know, it's
Frears?
Not the flashiest movie in the world.
Frears. Yeah.
Between the writing and the acting, though, I was totally involved and captivated and interested the entire time. I mean, maybe... Someone who paid attention to all that stuff may find it less interesting because they knew everything that happened.
Yeah. But I didn't
know that
you.
The Queen sat around on her thumbs for a week not saying anything about the fucking former princess's horrible sudden death. Like, she just sat around like an idiot. And so I didn't even really know that happened. So watching the movie, I just found the whole story fascinating. Plus, I was on a plane. So it's not like I had options.
Now, was it on the plane thing, or what? Did you have the digital video
player?
No,
it was on the... I had the CD in my bag, but it was just happened to be the movie on the plane, so I just watched it their style. I just succumbed to watching it with the group in case there were any big laughs that we could all have together. And that's another thing that surprised me about it is it's actually is kind of funny.
It's a very charming movie. It's a good movie. That's a good movie. As a beginning, as a middle, and an end, it's compelling. It doesn't shoot low.
Yeah.
I think it aims high.
And Helen Mirren is just
she's hot.
The real queen wasn't as attractive as her.
But you will admit there is a kind of a sexuality to her.
There was. Yeah. I was waiting for the scene where she's working it. But it was much more interesting than I could have ever imagined it
made
to
it.
Be.
It's right here on my list.
All right. It's a tie for number one.
It's a tie for number one.
All right.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Go ahead.
Let's move on to number four on my list. Jackass number two.
Yeah. I wish I had seen it. I've heard nothing but great things about it.
Oh, my God.
And when I went to the $3 theater to see it, there was something wrong with the screening room that day, and they didn't have it, and then I couldn't get back. You know, the Landmark Theater on Fairfax and
right.
Beverly?
Oh, you went to see it on the cheap. You wanted to see it for $3.
Well, I don't want to see it on television.
Right.
Because it's already out. But go ahead. I don't know what to say.
I'll say idiots hurting themselves equals me laughing.
Right.
And that they can make, if they want to be in my top 10 list next year, make another one. That's all I say to them, because I will never grow tired of it. I get a little put off by the vomiting and the nudity. Those two things I don't need.
Is there male nudity?
Oh, yes. There's a lot of it. And in fact, they kind of stole a little bit of Borat's thunder, because a fat dude chases a midget naked through a public place.
Oh.
And when I saw Borat, I was like, seen it. But they didn't wrestle in front of everyone. But anyway, Jackass number two, the most, because like also the thing about it is it's not only hilarious, it's also
painful.
Insanely suspenseful.
Right.
Because in this one, they set up things where you know a guy is about to get fucked up.
Right.
And you're just waiting for it to happen. Like there's this one thing where they have a sign on a wall and dudes come up and start reading it and it's in small print, so they have to get really close to it. And just suddenly this fucking fist shoots out and punches them in the face. When they're trying to read this sign that says when lunch is or whatever it says. And
wait, are these regular people or jackass?
No, jackass people. They don't fucking punch strangers.
I don't know. I thought it was like some guy at work is like trying to read.
No, they create awkward situations for strangers for sure. Like they get a lot of shots.
But don't
of people
they know? But
looking.
If you're a jackass, wouldn't you know? If you're
well, they sort of do. But they also they have like these kind of like there's like lesser jackasses. There's like this one guy that I swear wasn't in the first Jackass, but I guess he was. But he just wasn't that prominent.
Right.
So in this one, every other scene he gets fucking like he opens up a mailbox and a thing shoots out and punches him in the face, and it's always just like he's just always dazed and sad after it happens. And then he shows up the next day for more. So you got to love him for that.
Right. Well, you don't have to worry about signing releases because they're making the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really
and
good.
Then, you know, but they get... They,
no,
most,
what about
most
the
of the
snake? What
passerby
about the snake?
People aren't blurred out.
Right. I heard the snake part was good.
Yeah, they put... what's his name? Bam. They put him in a fucking container with a snake, and he doesn't like snakes. He's the Indiana Jones of Jackass.
Okay, all right. We'll go.
And... And he just really flips out and, like, starts crying and, like, you know, threatens to quit being
a
jackass.
The guy from the commercial with the... All right, go ahead. Next one. I know him from his commercials.
But I still want to say one more thing about Jackass.
I love it.
Number two. When they do the sign on the wall, when they do it to Wee Man, the little guy, he has to stand on a chair to get punched in the face and off of the chair. So when he's standing on that chair, that was the single most suspenseful
moment in movies probably ever because
the thing they don't take into account is he could fall off the chair and break his fucking neck. Like, it could have killed him. And they're all standing around laughing, waiting for it to happen. Oh, my God.
Well, we
so
spoke
good.
About this the last time we were on, that I feel like that movie, it was a historic movie. Because it was the first non-narrative movie that wasn't really a documentary, that was a comedy, that sort of opened the door for Borat.
Yeah,
and other
absolutely.
Movies that will be like that.
No, Borat. So I think it's when definitely the gateway to Borat, and yeah. I thank them for their own movies and for Borat.
Yeah, yeah, I do. So
very much. Biggest laughs I have in a theater ever. Number three is Little Miss Sunshine.
Yeah.
And it's in your...
I have it right here, a screener copy of it, not in my top one.
Not tied for the top four.
No, where
would it fall,
ending,
six or
ending.
Seven or eight?
I may be.
Now, can we talk
maybe
about the ending? Has everybody seen it?
Yeah. No.
Some people haven't seen it. There's always people. It's been out for fucking ever.
Well, it's not like a twist ending. It's not like...
It's not a huge twist. And, well, that's the thing that aggravates me about their DVD sales.
Yeah.
Is that in the commercials for the movie now, they show the pageant and what the little girl does at the pageant, which is like, a big reveal. It's a big, it's a big moment that you'd want to not know before seeing the movie. You know what I mean? It's like if in the commercials for The Departed, they showed that rat on the windowsill. You'd be like, I didn't need to know that there's a rat in it.
Well,
crack,
I saw...
Crack. So, but they show like one of the funniest moments in the movie to me, that one guy reacting to what the little girl does cracked me up in the movie, and then they blow it in the commercials.
That whole scene was the rat in this movie for me.
Now,
the way that rat ruined that other movie, that entire scene I thought was implausible.
Yes.
It ridiculous. And and had that feel like everyone should be up cheering when this is happening, but it was just the opposite. Like,
but they didn't, though. The people in the audience didn't. And there wasn't a slow clap for what happened. Like, it was the reaction to it was pretty realistic.
And there was a whole Weekend of Bernie's segment, I don't want to ruin it, that's terrible. Terrible comedy.
You mean Vacation. Not Weekend at Bernie's. It was like exactly from Vacation. The grandparent dies, and they have to forge ahead.
Yeah, you're right. You got me. there was never a dead body. The thing that
what
I'm saying, Weekend at Bernie's was all about
was entirely about a dead body.
Yeah, yeah. They did a little of that kind of comedy too. And
well,
they never
propped up his body and acted like he was alive. I mean, they do when the cop pulls him over. They do get out of it in kind of a goofy way, but it's preset.
I liked a lot in it. It just didn't make my top one.
Okay, well, I
and I saw it.
I loved it because it's the first independent movie that takes place in a van in which no one gets molested.
Oh,
no, someone does get high. I think
my favorite van scene in every movie has to be. The first Silence of the Lambs.
Well, yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's a terrific van scene. Really fun. You must have it just on a loop and watch it over and over again. Oh, so that's how you lure her in.
I need help carrying this chair. Could you help me get this chair in my van?
I love it.
Could you help me get this lotion in the bucket?
She puts the lotion.
Yeah, well, anyway, Little Miss Sunshine, I've seen twice on planes, because the first time I saw it, I thought that was a really cute movie. I didn't think it was a laugh riot, but I was charmed by it. And then I saw it a couple times on airplanes, and every time I see it, I like it more. Like, it grows on me more and more. Like, the characters are all really good, and I'm amused through the entire movie that... You know, that the grandfather is teaching the little girl how to dance, and that especially the first time you see it, you think, oh, he must know something about dancing. And then what he knows about it is exactly what that old perv would know about dancing. I love it. You're right. It's implausible, but it's just charming.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
The beginning movie, there's a beat in the movie where she gets off the phone and like the...
She's screaming.
So-and-so can't make the punt, but the first runner-up can go to the Little Miss Sunshine.
Right.
How could that girl ever have been first runner-up in a beauty contest?
Did you see those hags that she was up against? I mean, they're all like a little bunch of over-made-up whores. But that's the other thing. That aspect of it was super realistic, I thought. Like,
no, I agree. But if you're making an indictment on beauty contests for kids, which, yeah, that's really hard to do. Really, everyone loves them. you're really being risky in that. I felt like you weren't even true to that reality.
Right. You know, she lives in fucking
Arizona?
New Mexico.
New Mexico.
Albuquerque or something. So she's probably the second hottest girl. She's the second hottest 8-year-old in Albuquerque.
All right.
I'd like to see number one. Because I think I'd really like her.
But I love.
But I was thrilled that girl got nominated for Best Supporting Actress because she makes that movie work. Like if they got a little kid in that movie that sucked, it would have ruined it. Absolutely ruined it. So I loved her.
I know. She was super cute. I didn't like that part.
She won't win, Wayne. Relax.
Okay, go ahead.
Number two, we already talked about it. We are running out of time. So number two, I'm not even going to say the whole title. That's how short we are in time. My number two is Borat.
Yeah, it's on there, top one.
Me like.
Me like it.
He's good.
And I
groundbreaking. Also, last time you were on the show, we talked about, you started to talk about, like, there's one scene in that movie that's the funniest scene I've ever seen.
No, that's
and
what I said.
Something to that effect. Something about how great it was.
First of all, I didn't.
And we didn't get to say what the scene was.
Right.
And I've gotten emails from people going, what scene was he talking about?
Well, I thought the wrestling naked.
The wrestling naked
scene, which was ruined for you because you had already seen Jackass 2. But
yeah. Well, it wasn't completely ruined.
No, I thought it was I said it was the biggest laugh I heard in a movie theater since the hair gel Something About Mary.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that is what you said. Thanks for reminding me.
All right, but I do.
That's why I asked you what you said.
I mean,
people were
like rocking in their chairs laughing. It was so thrilling to listen
Well, yeah,
to.
But also theater chairs rock now, so.
Okay.
It's not like it was the 50s and people, everyone was rocking in their sturdy chairs.
Good point.
All right. Put on the gloves, Wayne.
Oh, please don't
Here
say
we
it.
Go. You know I'm going to say it.
Don't
what else
say
could
it.
I possibly say? My number one movie, Children of Men.
Oh. The worst. The most overrated movie
of the year.
That's
part of why I love it.
Yeah,
Everyone doesn't love it. If everyone loved it,
it would be
Dreamgirls or some shit.
No. No.
What do you mean everyone loves it? We got boos from people in the audience. Not a couple. It was a good 7 or 8 people compared to the 40 or 50 that agree with me.
But several
haven't seen it yet. Applaud if you haven't seen it yet.
Wow.
You are lucky.
You are lucky that
you
haven't seen
Don't
it.
Don't watch the commercials, though, because they get way too much.
It is horrible. It is bad.
I know someone who saw it in an early press screening and said, Children of Men is horrible. I walked out of it.
Who is that person?
And when the movie came out, I'm not going to say.
Right.
I don't want to disparage her name. But when it came out, I waited a few days because she had told me it was so horrible she walked out. I was like, oh, wow, I can't believe that Alfonso Cuarón made a horrible movie, but I'm going to, believe her. And then I, went anyway. Anyway, and I fucking loved it.
Yeah, well,
but that may have helped me to love it. Being told it's so bad, you'll want to walk out.
I have it as my number one overrated film of the year. The one that has mesmerized the community. Unfortunately,
it hasn't, though. Like, it didn't get nominated for
today,
Best Picture.
But yesterday, before today, people were really talking about it. And also, if you go to something called Rotten Tomatoes, which is on your internet,
never heard of it.
It's the number.
I've heard of Rotten Tomatoes, not the internet.
Yeah. The number one rated. It was just so pretentious, preachy, and
some of the best staging of action I've ever seen.
I will give you that.
Michael Caine smoking a joint. Reason to be number one right there.
All right. If you can believe, how old a hippie was he? Was he 114?
That's...
Come on.
Look at me, Wayne.
Time.
I'm 25. Weed is good for you.
I'm just saying...
I just had no idea where it was going the whole time. I found it very suspenseful and exciting. And
I will admit there was
when people
a couple...
died, they got fucked up so good. That opening sequence that ends with a lady walking around carrying her own arm. God damn it! It was just.
I think that's what I disliked.
Like at first, I was like comparing this to Blade Runner, like the ads, and then I saw it and went, well, you know what? It's an apt comparison because it is equally.
Ridiculous.
We have an audience divided.
It makes no sense. If you care about plot, if you care about logic, you might be able to make it through half of that movie.
If you're high
and all you care about is a guy getting thrown off a motorcycle in one shot, in the same shot that she got shot in the head,
I could watch that over and over again.
Yeah.
I cannot get enough of that sequence. I mean... that's the thing, though. I mean, sometimes it's your own logic comes into it because, like, certainly there's plenty of movies I've seen where I'm like, oh, that doesn't make any sense to me. You know, it doesn't hold up
but it was
logically.
Preachy, but, it was
in that case, I was just gripped by the overall storytelling and the look of it and just the way everything went down. I was just fascinated by it from beginning to end. And it's just the sort of movie I like to put movies in my top five that, like, I want to see again and again. And I'm psyched about seeing that movie again.
Okay, so let me just ask you. Question. You have one. I feel like I'm going to ruin this whole thing by talking about this movie.
Uh-oh.
A lot of people haven't seen it. But
La la la.
Well, it's
fingers
hard
and
to,
ears.
Because it's you.
Do you want to come back in 3 or 4 months and discuss it? Because if they haven't seen it by then, I'm going to.
I will talk. We can talk. Just know that the ending. Let me just say, you got to go to a buoy and hope. That's literally it. That's it. That's the hope. That's mankind. You got to.
But that's
somebody
but that's,
from nobody. They taught. They talked to a mirror. They talked to a mirror. They talked to a doorknob. They gave them the information, and they're going to base the chance for humanity to survive.
Well,
on drop
off. Sandra Bullock taught us that hope floats, Wayne.
You're right.
So we got. I covered all yours, right? Except for you also put clumped into your top four, United 93.
United 93.
Excellent, fantastic movie. I never want to see it again or think about it ever again in my life. Yeah. I mean, it's extremely
it
well
be
done.
My number one of my number one.
It's I extremely just, well done, and I'm glad I saw it. I'm glad that guy got nominated for Best Director because
it's
amazingly good.
Have you ever?
But it's fucking torture to sit through. I'd rather watch people being tortured in Romania in Hostel or midgets punched in the face falling to their deaths than you know, than this true life horrible story. And those people that said it was too soon and all that stuff, I don't have any of those kind of issues because I think 20 years from now, that movie will be as disturbing as it is today, and
it's
maybe
insane.
Maybe even more so.
But the filmmaking was so
hopefully more
nuanced
so.
And beautiful. It was just incredible. It was hard to watch. It was great. Can I make a quick note about the movie Tamara?
Yes, you can. You
not a lot of people saw it, but it was
12
a mind
seconds. I don't even know what it is.
It's a mind control movie. I love those kind of movies. Whenever someone can control
Tamara.
Someone. Yeah. Did anyone
from what country?
It's United States.
It's an American movie.
Yeah.
Who's in it?
Some chick, some high school girl.
Some chick named Tamara?
Yeah.
And it's about controlling her mind?
Yeah, she was like the ugly girl, and they tried to kill her, and then she got these powers, and then it was
revenge.
You sure
this isn't like a porn site or it's something that you...
No one saw
that you
them.
Like.
And also, in my favorite performance of the year was Forest Whitaker in the Idi Amin movie.
Right, but like I haven't seen that movie because I just have a sense that like he's fantastic, but not
yeah.
It's not like Helen Mirren where it's
no.
The kind of fantastic that
you're
makes
right.
It worthwhile.
Although I will say this, the guy, if you're the doctor for Idi Amin, the one person you don't want to sleep with. Mrs. Idi Amin.
Oh, okay. Good tip. Good tip.
That was
good tip in case Idi Amin comes back from the dead and we become doctors.
No, I'm just saying in the movie, it was a little weird. It's like, okay, it's dangerous enough out here without you sleeping with the president, one of the president's
well,
wives.
I have to thank you, Wayne, for coming out
you're
and
welcome.
Doing this and going head to head with me on this.
I will come back with the Children of God and let more people see
Children
it.
Of Men.
Children of Men. What's Children of God?
Is there was City of God and Children of God. There's a bunch of God movies.
All right. Children of Men.
Agnes of God, probably the best one.
I walked into that movie shaking my head with like, wow, that is just... I just thought it was bad filmmaking with a couple great action sequences.
Okay.
That's the best I can give
all right.
It.
Well, those two action sequences did it for me.
The human project.
I'm just
exists.
An idiot. I'm an idiot.
No one knows.
Logic does not enter my.
It's not even logic. It's an insult to anyone who knows the English language.
We really do have to pick this up in another show. Do you have anything you want to plug really quickly?
No, I Unaccompanied Minors came and went faster than I expected.
Well, that's number 11 on my list,
and
it was really close.
And Knocked Up. Is coming out earlier than they was going to come out in April. I mean, excuse me, August. Now it's coming out in June.
They moved it up
because of the screenings.
Yeah, it's hot.
Tesco.
It's the first time I've ever gotten. I got an ad for that movie in the mail.
What do you mean?
Like an envelope addressed to me.
Yeah.
You know, typed on there.
In care of the podcast?
From Universal Pictures.
Yeah.
No, just because I'm in Writers Guild or whatever.
All right.
But just saying, and it's like this thing that folds out, like, Knocked Up is coming soon. Like, not an invite to see it, just it's coming, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. And but I'm sure it's going to be hilarious, because it's a lot of the same people who did the 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Right.
And Wayne Fetterman is in it, ladies and gentlemen. Wayne Fetterman, everybody!
Thank you.
This is Doug Benson saying Willem Dafoe is a shithead.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug loves.